You ready to get into the Word? All right. We've been talking about positioned for success. God desires us to succeed in the things that we do that's in accordance to His will. Okay? And working in jobs is actually in accordance to His will. Because the Bible says, he who does not work does not eat. And so that's pretty simple. God has His will, we can find in the Word of God for everything. But today, I want to talk to you about something that's so vitally important concerning these last days that we're living in. And that is this: being positioned in church. Being positioned in church. So the first question we have to ask ourselves, whose idea was church to start with? Was it man's or was it God's? Who created church? We have denominations, we have local churches, we have non-denominations. Well, first of all, I want to say this, and I'm not putting anything down when I say this, but in heaven there are no denominations. There are no denominations. Because God did not create us to be divided. There is one church, there is one body, and then there are local assemblies and gathering places all over the world. And I want to show you this, but I'm going to show you why it's so important for you to be plugged in to a local body, plugged in to a local church. God never created us to be long rangers. And the other thing I want to say also in getting into this, there are no perfect local churches. All right? The church in heaven is perfect, all right? But you're not going to find, you have every level of person that is in a local church that is in process of growth. I have been walking with the Lord right at 50 years, and I am still in process of growth. I am still growing. I still pray and ask the Holy Spirit to teach me, lead me, guide me, and direct me. And it's amazing because every single day as I'm reading the Word of God, God will open, the Holy Spirit will open up my eyes sometimes to truth that all of a sudden I've never seen in that scripture. But He'll always teach me, because how many of you know a lot of times we don't need advancement, we need to go back to the basics sometimes. Amen? But you can't stay there. You've got to advance. So let me show you whose idea church was and how it was created. And when I say church, I'm not talking about this building. This is a building, period. It is a building where we, as part of the body of Christ, we come to assemble and gather together to worship God, to worship Him, and to receive instruction and receive the teaching of the Word of God. And so here's what he says in Colossians, the first chapter, verse 15. Amen. He is the image, speaking of Jesus, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Notice he said firstborn, because you're in there somewhere. Amen? Firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. In the beginning was the Word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were created by him. God spoke everything. Everything that we see has been created by the Word of God. So he said, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities and powers. Listen, God never created the devil to be the devil. Man, when you study the Word of God, you'll find out that he was actually created to lead worship. The way his whole insides were formed. It is amazing reading that in Isaiah and how God created him. And then the Bible says pride was found in him. And then he rebelled against God. And so I'm not going to go into that. I've done teaching on that. So I want to follow this real quickly. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. By the way, you were created by God. You were created for God. Every single one of us. You have a purpose. You were created by him. You didn't just show up. Where do you think your spirit man came from? The Bible says God is the Father of all spirits. So he said, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body. What's the next word? The church. He is the head of the body, the church. In other words, the body of Christ. We, as members of the body, we make up and form the church. And the church continues to grow and continues to advance. So he said, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And like I said, your number is in there somewhere. That in all things that he may have preeminence. Now, the Greek word for church is ecclesia. Look at this. It's ecclesia. And it means this. It means a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place, an assembly or congregation, the called out ones. So let me just say that again. It's right there on the screen. A gathering of citizens called out of their homes in some public place as an assembly or a congregation, the called out ones. And so what are we called out of? We're called out of darkness into light. We're called because all of us are born with sin in our lives. We're born with a sinful nature that was passed down by Adam. And then God sent Jesus Christ to take the sin of the whole world upon himself in his own body. And he suffered the wrath of God. He suffered everything that every single sinner should suffer from God. And God did that so that we could have liberties and freedoms, so that we could come out from the power of sin, be set free from the power of sin, the power of Satan, because Satan is the one that had power over all of the sin. That means every person, Satan had power over him, and God did not want that to happen. And so he sends Jesus. Jesus dies on the cross because Jesus is the Son of God. And God, and him being God in the flesh, God is worth his whole creation. Amen. That's the reason he had to be born with a virgin birth, is because the blood, because the seed of God was planted. The seed, which is the word of God, was planted inside of Mary, and the blood comes from the Father, from the seed. So therefore, the blood that flowed through his veins was the blood of God himself. So the Bible says there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. That's the reason you have all the sacrifices in the Bible. And the great thing about the blood of Jesus versus the blood of the animals that were sacrificed is the blood of the animals were never equal to the life of a human being. So therefore, it had to be a life that was equal to the human being of the same value. So that's the reason we have the blood of Jesus. That blood was shed, or given, which when you give the blood, you've given your life, okay? The key was the animals could only cover the sin. It could not cleanse it because it was not of equal value. But God used that to cover the sin so he could deal with his people to bring the seed into the human race, being the seed and being Jesus Christ, okay? But the blood of Jesus, being the blood of God, it cleanses us. The moment a human being says, I confess Jesus Christ is Lord, that I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, at that moment, at that time, the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. But it doesn't just cleanse me from sin, it cleanses me, the Bible says, from a guilty conscience. Now I stand before God without any guilt, without any shame, without any inferiority, because he's made me righteous. Oh, yeah, I humble myself before God under his mighty hand, absolutely, 100%. But yet at the same time, when it comes to Satan, when it comes to other things out of the kingdom of darkness, I now have authority. I stand in right standing with God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have been delivered. I have been set free. Sin does not have dominion over me anymore. Satan does not have authority over me anymore. And so I walk on this earth with the living God living on the inside of me, just like you do. The Spirit of God, the moment you say Jesus is Lord, all your sins are forgiven, the Spirit of God comes to inhabit you. Man. People sometimes say, I don't feel God. I mean, if God would thank God for the feelings and thank God for the manifestations, but if God manifested himself completely, you just blow up. but thank God for those times. But here's what you need to understand. Regardless, I hear so many people say this. I just don't know where God, I just feel so far away from God. And here's what I say. I said, well, just look down. Because he's right here. And he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Just because you don't feel him doesn't mean that he's not working and he's not there. Amen? He's there. He's the one that said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? Listen to this in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 19 and 22. It says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. And the saints are the ones who are set apart, called out ones. But fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Notice you're not a stranger. Quit feeling like you're a stranger to God. You're a citizen. You're a fellow citizen. And you're a member of the household of God. So he goes on saying, having built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, that's talking about that when the church first was established, that the Apostle Paul and the apostles that were there, like the Apostle Peter and others, they established, they wrote the Word of God for us, okay? And so he's talking about the founding apostles there. Jesus is the one who found the church. He's the one that originated the church. In Matthew 16, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So it says, being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, that's what we have, that's what I'm actually reading to you right now, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Notice it says being fitted together. Now listen, this is very important. Who is the one who fits you in the body? God himself. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the Bible says God places every member in the body as it pleases him. And by the way, he places you in the body. A lot has to do with your giftings that he's put inside of you. And so there. I remember when Tave and I, when we first started the church, all we had was a boombox. A boombox. I mean, that was it. That was our praise and worship. You know? And so this big, gigantic thing sitting on a table, and we had one cassette tape of praise and worship. And believe me, I guarded that cassette tape with my life. And sometimes, how many of you know, and some of you might not even know what a cassette tape is, but sometimes those cassette tapes, the heads on the player, on the cassette player will mess up, and all of a sudden that little tape would come out. It would just fall out right here, like that. Oh my gosh. That was the most horrifying thing that you could ever see in your life. And you were like, you'd take it very carefully, and you'd put a pencil, eraser, and some of the young people are sitting here looking at me like, what? And you take that and you would back that thing up and make sure it got tight. And then you would take it and put it in, and then you would pray over it. Lord, please, oh God, please, please let this, don't let this thing break. So we used that for many, many years. And then Tave and I, we started praying and we said, God, if you will send us people that can sing, that are worshipers, and people that are skilled musicians, we will worship you. We will put you on the pedestal. We will, no man will be worshipped. No woman will be exalted. Only you will be exalted. We will worship you the way you created us to worship you, in spirit and in truth. So God, we're asking you to send the people to do it. And I'm telling you, he answered that prayer, and he answered that prayer so fast. It was incredible. You know why? Because he knew our heart. He knew that we would do that. And that's what he's done. And so God sent people who had those giftings and put them here in this local body. That's what God does. Because the body belongs to him. And so the pastors that are on staff, we prayed them in. Every volunteer in this church, you may not know it, you were prayed in. Because we would say, Lord, we have this place, this position, and Lord, we need it filled. We need you to send the right person, send that person in here, and he's always done it. Always done it. I mean, we have over 700 volunteers. And you were prayed in. There are people that are here that are in the fivefold ministry that go out and preach and teach and hold crusades and go into foreign mission areas. I mean, we just had one of our young men who actually works in the city, has a job in the city, and he just went to Ecuador and held a crusade. And he's a member of the church. He's a part of the fivefold ministry. And every fivefold ministry, God puts in a local church. He puts in the apostles and the prophets and he the evangelists and people like that. Matter of fact, we've got so many people in this church writing books now, I can't even keep up with it. It's incredible. I mean, I was talking to the staff the other day. We're going to have an author's day where we're going to have tables out there everywhere that everybody has written books here in this church, which is amazing how many books are written. Somebody told me the other day, we have a young a man here that is an evangelist that goes out and has crusades and evangelizes, and he sent me a copy of his book, and I looked at the book. 80,000 copies of this book have sold, which is amazing, called The Names of God. Just absolutely amazing. You know, people that have poems and things like that, that is, it's just incredible. So we're going to have our, they have a gifting to do that. And then God takes us and puts us in the local church. You may thought that you just maybe volunteered to greet at the front door, or you volunteered just to usher, or you volunteered in children's ministry and things. No. I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit stirred your heart to do that. Because God knows where every position is and whatever position needs. And we are a church of prayer and we believe that. So he said, in the whole building being fitted together, which indicates unity. Folks, we are not against one another. We have a purpose. We have a calling, every one of us, and that is to advance the victory of Jesus, to advance the kingdom of God. And it takes everybody doing that. So he says, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Let me just tell you real quickly what means more to me in this building than anything else. And that is the presence of God. The presence of God. The presence of God. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if the presence of God is not here, I don't want to show up. And I'm like Moses when God told Moses. He said, Moses, he said, I'm going to send you out. I'm going to send my angel with you. And Moses said, I don't think so. No, that's not going to happen. And he said, no, I'll send my angel. I mean, a lot of people get excited about the angel of the Lord's going to go before us. Moses said, no way. He said, unless you go with us, unless your presence is here with us, we got no meaning and no purpose. We're not going anywhere. And God said, okay, you know, I'll go. I think he was just testing him. But that's, and the Bible says, listen to this, why do we have praise and worship like we have praise and worship? Because the Bible says praise with understanding, but it says that God inhabits the praises of his people. All right, let's move forward. So God is the one who called local assemblies, gathering of the saints, born-again believers, and we call them local churches. And even in the Bible, it talks about that. Now, some met in houses that we see in the Bible. And yet, there are some people that some people are teaching today that a gathering like this is not biblical. That the only thing biblical for a church is to be in houses. No, we have small groups where people gather in houses, but in the Bible, you have large assemblies where people came together to worship together, and then they worshiped from house to house. Even the first church, the Bible says they were in the temples. They were in the temple, and then they were meeting also from house to house, which is what we call small groups. And then I'll give you a prime example of that, the Corinthian church. Paul had to actually bring order to the Corinthian church because the Corinthian church was so big and they were coming together. And he said this in communion. He said, because a lot of them were coming in out of their old habits and they got excited about communion because it was drinking wine. And Paul had to give them instruction. And when they heard about communion, they said, oh man, that's awesome. We can get all the bread we want and they're serving wine, and let's go in there and have that. That's the reason we do juice. So here's what Paul says. Paul said, no. He said, that's totally, completely wrong. 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. He said, no, that's wrong. He said, you have houses that you drink in, and you have houses where you eat. But when you come together as an assembly, he said, this is what you do. So back in those days, you had house churches and you had large assemblies. And the house churches, a lot of times, were in places because there was persecution and there was also a small amount of believers getting together. So they would meet in house, especially when it came to the Gentiles. So here's my point that I want to get to that's so very important. What is the main purpose of church? What is the purpose? Why do we come here? Why do we show up? Why do we do this? And why is it so important in these last days? Listen to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 11 through 16, and read this out of the Amplified Bible. It'll be on the screen behind me. And he says this, and his gifts to the church were varied. Talking about Jesus giving gifts to the church were varied. And he himself, Jesus did, appointed some apostles, special messengers, representatives, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. And he did this to fully equip, everybody say fully equip. Fully equip and perfect, and the word perfect there means this, it means to mature, to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service, not only working and volunteering here in the church, but working out in the community, helping out, doing things out there like Chaplain Tim, he and Peggy, all the different outreaches that we have here, Operation Inasmuch, feeding the homeless, working with the homeless, Mr. Willie back there doing everything he can to get our city to recognize and do some things for the homeless people. That's a works of service outside of here. There's also works of service inside the church. And what is that for? And listen to this, is to build up the body of Christ, the church. Now watch verse 13, because coming to church is important because it helps us to mature in the things of God. So number one is maturity. Look at verse 13. Until we all reach oneness in faith in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, we're being conformed in the image of Christ. It's very important that we are growing, and as we grow, we become spiritually complete. We're coming and reaching the measure of the fullness of Christ to be like Jesus in every area of our life. And then it says, manifesting his spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts, now watch this, in unity, which is very important. Because some people, when they get spiritual gifts, they think, you know, well, I'm the cat's meow. I'm the greatest thing that's happened under the sun that God has created. And I'm going to run out here. I'm not going to have anybody over me. I'm not going to be under any authority whatsoever. And I'm going to go out here and do my own thing. That is so dangerous. And I can't believe how many people follow people like that. And just deceived. And the reason that people get deceived is because you're not developing maturity in the Word of God, which is extremely important. If you're going to be effective, if you're going to be successful in this life, you have to mature and grow in the things of God. Why is maturity and growth so important? Look at verse 14. Verse 14 has to do with stability, so that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea and carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, and I can put men and women there, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit. That's how some people spell profit. I'm a prophet of God, P-R-O-F-I-T. One thing I want to say to you is this. Notice that it says Jesus is the one who gave these gifts. It is so easy for people to go to Speedy Print and get their own cards. Apostle Bob, prophet or prophetess so-and-so and so-and-so, and hand those cards out. Self-appointed by themselves. This is the reason in these last days the Bible says you have got to be discerning. You've got to know. That's the reason the Bible says, and I'm such a stickler for this, but the Bible says, Paul said this to Timothy, a young pastor, he said, preach the word only. Preach the word only. If you're preaching the word only, you're not going to have to worry about anything else, because it's just what God said. And that's what we build our life on. That's how we mature. So he said, so we no longer are children, spiritually immature. Age has nothing to do with maturity. Amen. It's learning and developing your faith and learning and having knowledge of God's word that is where you mature. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 11, and he says this. He said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, when you get born again, you are in that stage of a newborn believer, which is the being a child in the Lord, receiving the milk of the Word, and then you go up to the next stage that John writes about over in 1 John, where he talks about children and young men and then fathers. But you're supposed to get to a place where Paul said this in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, I think it's verse 12. He said, by this time, every one of you should be teachers. Every one of you should be teachers. So in other words, what he's saying is this. He's saying, our goal is to get the Word of God, the understanding of God's Word, growing in God's Word, being discipled in God's Word, so that we can teach other people. You can teach people at your job. You can teach people where you find them. You're always able to teach them. And once you mature, you're not going to be caught up by some trickery and cunningness of deceitful people. Okay? That are trying to take you. Christians are the easiest people in the world to sham. They are. You know why? Because we're always wanting to do something for God. We're always wanting to, man, if I make this investment, oh my gracious, oh man, what I could do for my church, what I could do for the kingdom of God. And you get shamed. I begged people here in this church when the three Hebrew boys showed up. All kinds of money. All kinds, just throwing everything. I begged people. People were putting $5,000 on credit cards and all kinds of things to do. And I sit there and I said, that's not the way God sets things up for you to get money. I said, the hand of the diligent tends to plenty. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to work and believe God and give and sow seed. That's how you get where you are. I said, I can't find any place in the Bible that says go to so-and-so and scratch off. All right, I'm meddling now. The Bible's, I hope you do win the $340 million. You better tithe. But listen to this. If you don't tithe off the $10, and if you are not mature and have wisdom, you'll lose. Just like everyone who has won it, they've lost the whole ranch. You got to have wisdom. It's hard work. It's working. It's saving. It's investing. It's doing things like that. So we're no longer children being taken advantage of. Okay, next one is integrity, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives expressing his truth. Notice it said both our speech and our lives expressing his truth. That people see that we walk in the truth, and the truth is of course Jesus and the word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, so the truth is also God's word. It's us walking in that, whatever God says. And as I mature in the word, my mind will be renewed so that I will know what the good and perfect and acceptable will of God is. But if all I do, listen, this is the reason I put my notes up on the website, so you go up there and pull those things down. And you'll take them and print them out or study in them. And look at them and get yourself built in the word of God. Because I can tell you this, you may think you're breezing through right now. You are going to face a battle. You will face fights. You will face opposition. You will face the invisible enemy who will set things up that will come against you. And you have to fight the fight of faith. See, God brings the results, but you've got to stay in faith until you see them. And to do that, you have to mature. You have to grow. Or you're going to be like everybody else. When something happens, you're not going to have any hope whatsoever. You're just going to throw in the towel and give up. And whatever will be, will be. Well, that's a fatal doctrine right there. You know, you've got to know how to use the word of God. You know how to fight the word of God. You got to know how to use the name of Jesus. You got to know how to stay in faith. And the last one is this. Verse 16, community. For in him the whole body, the church, in all of its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies. Now, in this day and time, I have to explain he's not talking about marijuana. I'll never forget in the old building when I said one time, Paul got stoned. And this guy comes up to me after service. He says, dude, That's awesome. I said, no, 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 no. I said, that is not what I meant. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about real rocks. He got really real rocks thrown at him. So when I say every joint supplies, he said, dude, that's awesome. No, it's for him, the whole body of the church in its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by every joint supplies. And it's talking about us joined together. When each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love. See, that's what God calls us together. You're not here just to look at the back of somebody's head. You're here to worship. You're here to be instructed. You're here to get involved. All of us together, because this is the body of Christ. And the quicker we get this thing done, the quicker Jesus comes back. That we help. But we're not only doing it in here, but we're doing it out there. We're expressing to people. So let me end with this. The Word of God actually warns us and tells us that seeing the day approaching when Jesus is getting ready to come back, only God knows that. But the Bible says when Jesus is returned, we can know the seasons and the times. And you look around and you read Matthew 24 and Luke 21, you'll see everything there that is prophesied. That's happening right now. They're actually, in our government right now, they are working on a peace agreement. I don't know if y'all know about this. I will give you more information later on, but I'm telling you, there's a peace agreement that's being worked on right now. That's the reason that Netanyahu and Benny Gantz, the general there, is coming to the White House. And I believe that we may see this thing happen in 2020. Folks, the way this agreement is put together, if it does, you start the prophetic countdown. It's clear, it's in the Word of God. So, listen to what he says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, because the Bible says before Jesus returns, there's going to be a great falling away from the faith. Yes. Listen what the Bible tells us. He says, let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is reliable, trustworthy, and faithful to his word. And let us, everybody say us, let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds. Are you seeing that? So we're not supposed to be against or fighting one another or jealous or envious one another. We're supposed to be encouraging one another. Turn to somebody next to you and say, I just encourage you right now in the name of Jesus. Doesn't that feel better than, what are you doing on my row? So, listen what, now watch this. Now this, remember, this is the Word of God. Watch this. Not forsaking our meeting together, watch this next statement, as believers for worship instruction. Now look at this, as is the habit of some. Now ask yourself, how do you develop a habit? Because this has been a habit that has been developed, that the habit was coming to church, and then the habit has been developed not coming to church. How does that happen? It means that I'm being influenced by the environment around me. And Jesus makes that clear in Matthew 24. He said, not forsaking the meeting of our together as believers for instruction, for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all and all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. Encouraging one another. Encouraging one another to what? Encouraging one another to come to church. Listen, we've got to get back to the basics of our spiritual priorities, with not only with individuals, but with our families, with our children. You got to ask yourself, who is the parent in your house? When it was coming to church for me, it was no choice. I mean, we were there Sunday morning and we were there Wednesday. I mean, it was no choice. I mean, that's the way we were raised, like that. But you have to look today in households, and it's like the children run the house. And the children tell the parents whether they want to go or not. And we've got to get back to parenting. We've got to get back to what we're supposed to be doing. And knowing that this world, the Bible says, Jesus said, the love of many is going to grow cold because lawlessness is going to abound. It's going to abound. It's just like, and I can't believe this, but tonight, when the Super Bowl is being played, by the way, Patrick Mahomes is a spirit-filled, tongue-talking believer. No wonder he's so good. Listen to this. You have to be very careful what you allow your kids to see, because one of the commercials tonight is two drag queens that are promoting a certain product. And it's so innocent today because everybody says it's so acceptable. It is not acceptable in God's kingdom. It is not. It is not. And I speak the truth in love, like the Bible says. But it is not acceptable with God. And you have to be careful what you're allowing your kids to see. And you better be very careful about the halftime shows. You know? So do something else with your kids and stuff. But listen, Wednesday nights we're having discipleship classes. Why do we do? God told us to do discipleship classes. Because here's what he said. He said, I want my people to mature, especially coming into these last days. So we got discipleship classes. Youth. Tave and I met this young girl just the other day in a restaurant. She said, I went to your youth service on Wednesday night. First time I've ever gone. And she said, oh my gracious. She said, it's the first time I've ever been to a youth service that I was so hungry to go back. So hungry to go back. She said, the presence of God there, the freedom there, the teaching and the preaching there. She said, I can't wait to go back. And she said, I'm inviting other people to go. So, folks, listen to me very carefully. It's very important. Get your family in church. God said that. I didn't say that. God said that. And especially in these last days that we're living in. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come before you right now. And Lord God, I pray, open the eyes of our understanding that, Lord, that we will be hungry once again for the things of God. That, Lord, we will not let this world put out our fire. And, Lord, we will not put ourselves in environments that causes us, Father God, to compromise and causes us to become cold in the things of God. Father, I pray that we will not allow our flesh to put us in a position, in a place where we just don't want to do the things of God anymore. Father, knowing that your word, our relationship with you, is the only thing that's going to get us through in these last days and take care of us like you said you would. You are our hope. You're the God of all hope. There is no hope outside of you. And so, Father, I pray that we will look and just say, I will be a strong disciple of the Lord. I am not going to back up. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to let people take me out away from my position that I have with the Lord. And I thank you, Father, that your word says bad company corrupts good character. I pray that we will take the time to look to see what our kids are watching, what they're pulling up, and who they're hanging out with. We're standing before you responsible as parents. And Lord, I pray that we will not allow stumbling blocks to be put in front of our kids, but Lord, we will tell them, sit down and tell them the truth. We will not allow them to be educated by those who are preaching a doctrine or preaching doctrines that are ungodly, wicked, and evil. Father, we will tell them the truth of your word, and we will bring them so that we can partner with every household, every family, to build our lives, to be strong in these last days, that we will encourage one another and be living examples in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.